Hello and welcome to Power of the Parent, the podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Speak. I'm a level 7 CMI accredited coach, a StrengthsScope master practitioner, mental health first aider and talent consultant. And I'm also the face behind Power of the Parent. In this podcast, I'll be speaking to parents in the workplace. Some of them are in traditionally employed roles, others are running their own businesses, and we're having conversations about life in general, insights about being a parent and having a career, and exploring the strengths that parenting has awoken for people. We will talk about things like the value that they're bringing to the workplace, as well as my guests very generously sharing their personal stories and anecdotes about everything life can throw at us. And welcome back to Power of the Parent, the podcast. On today's episode, I am joined by the wonderful Victorine, who is the founder and creator extraordinaire behind Baby Duet, the independent baby clothing brand, supplying beautiful, colourful, hand-drawn baby wear prints. In 2021, Victorine was shortlisted in the Junior Design Awards, and she works with a clear sustainability purpose, recently expanding Baby Duet's zero waste collection. She is navigating solo parenting to two gorgeous littles, and I hear a budding TikTok star as well for some behind the scenes insights. And I'm so excited to chat to her today. I wish you could see the hands have just gone up on the face when I mentioned TikTok. We'll get into that. thank you so much for joining me today. I'm thrilled that we finally get to talk.
thank you for having me, Charlotte. I'm so excited to be here.
So I realize, you know, that's a tiny little intro for you. Have I missed anything like major in the headlines that we need to know about you before I'm diving into questions?
Well, also that I'm a bit nosy, so I also have a content series called Mama Duet, so I love hearing about mums and what they do and how they balance it all. So that's part of Baby Duet as well, which is exciting. But yeah, apart from that intro, was great. It's really sweet.
I like it. Amazing. I love the, like, this is who I am, take me as I am, or move on. Yeah.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, I'm absolutely there for that. So you kind of alluded to it a little bit there, this kind of concept of balance, or kind of in my world, I'll talk about managing the imbalance and that, you know, things fluctuate and different things need our focus and attention. You have a lot going on. What does it look like for you? Not, I don't want to say like a typical day or a typical week, because I'm pretty sure there isn't going to be one, but yeah. You've got a lot to juggle. How do you kind of navigate some of that stuff? Is that too big a question?
Thinking in my head, how do I cut this down?
don't start, like, if you get suddenly like an eye twitch because I'm taking you to a place that you don't want to be in, we'll move on.
I know, it is challenging, and I'm not afraid to say it, you know. I'm not going to pretend that it's all great and rainbows, and it's not. It's challenging, and especially being a mum, being a business woman, especially now, and just trying to do it all. Sometimes it's not possible to do it all. And I've definitely learned within myself to, like, take a break. I am from hustle culture. Like, you've got to do it now. Like, I've grown up that way. Like, come on, keep going. You know, school, uni, work, like, it's all that. And I've now learned how to kind of say, well, maybe I just need to just take a moment and breathe. And it's really... yeah, I'm really learning that, really learning how to take a break. And I know people like talk about self-care and looking after yourself. And it really is true. It's true about looking after yourself, because my mum used to say it. She's like, how do you expect to function and be a parent if you can't look after yourself? And I'm like, no, I've got to look after the kids. And she's like, yeah, but how are you looking after you? And yeah, I've definitely learned to kind of take a break. It's needed. Definitely needed.
Do you kind of find... like, are there certain things that you spot as triggers in you that you're like, okay, that I feel like this right now, that equates to me needing to get ahead and get a break? Or is it kind of like in the moment? What have you sort of discovered about yourself?
Fascinating. That's okay. Me. That is, yeah, I'm just like, like, I just find it a challenge to kind of just say, come on, let's do it. And I can get into that, because once I take a break, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm enjoying this break a bit too much. So I'm learning that kind of, like, now I'm juggling it all. Like you said, I'm solo parenting. So trying to do that job and then trying to, obviously, I run my, grow my business because it's so important to me. It's just when I procrastinate, I'm like, yeah, this is when I know something needs to, something needs to change.
Can we go back in the timeline a little bit? Where did Baby Duet start from? Was there a moment where you're like, this is what I want to do? It's going to be Baby Duet. There's no compromise here. This is the direction I want to take my life in, because it's a life choice, isn't it? Working for yourself. I imagine working in this industry as well, like you've got to be on and doing that, especially kind of the sustainability stuff as well.
Yeah.
Where did it all start for you?
Well, I've always been creative, like from ages, and I went to uni to study fashion display, actually. So I did like display design and visual merchandising and all that. So I've always said to myself, you know what, maybe one day I will have my own brand. But I'd always thought it was like adult clothing. But once you have children and things start different, like it all changes. So, but it was more so when my son was born, and he was born in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I just had that moment where I was like, this is it. And I would never stop telling this story. I tell it so many times, but it's we went to a wedding and he was wearing a lovely outfit, and obviously he was dribbling so much and I had to put a bib on, but you know, you just grab so many different bibs. Like you don't even think about matching the outfit. You're like, whatever bib it goes. And I was like, oh, I put on a particular bib and it just covered the whole outfit. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. And I wanted the print to match. And I'm really into print and colors. And I was a bit like, I would love to create something where I can create prints, my own prints, my own design, and just have matching baby wear. I thought that's a cute idea. That's how it's going to go. And literally that's how it started. And from then it was me and my notepad just writing things down. To be honest with you, I actually didn't believe it would happen. I just liked the idea of creating it. And fun, if that was the best part of the business for me, was the starting part. And I really enjoyed that part. Yeah, so it was definitely from my little baby boy. He definitely inspired that.
I think that's amazing. And it's so, I mean, everybody has their own kind of moment, don't they, when whether it's setting up a business or making a life change or doing something different. And so many parents that I talk to, they will attribute it to their children. Like that's been the thing that's made you see something with a fresh pair of eyes. And that I think then is sometimes, that's the bit that the rest of the world don't always see the value in. Like you're adding a huge amount to you as a person, like your well-being, the fact that you're doing something that you love. And I imagine that does not mean that any day is easy, but when you're doing something with purpose, that changes who you are, I think. And then, you know, from a world of work perspective, if this was somebody in the workplace where you're then doing something aligned with something that really matters to you, it pays it in huge dividends, not just, you know, financially, but as in the way that we operate, the way that we feel. It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It really is. And when I'm talking about brand, you feel it because it's come from somewhere. It's passionate. It's passion. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Totally. Like it's heart led, isn't it?
It
might have happened, or you might have done something in this arena, maybe one day if you hadn't have had your son, but who's to know? And like, we'll never know. But the fact that is that, you know, you've had and what a gorgeous story. He's one of the founders of Baby Duet. Does he realise that?
We literally think they're bosses. I mean, they will be eventually, but they're like, my daughter's like, I'm going to do your videos for you.
She's bless her.
Yeah, they are literally, they are Baby Duet family, definitely. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh my goodness. You talked there kind of about the, I suppose, some of the background that you've come from, but also I think some of the environment that we find ourselves in around this hustle culture. And I think it seems to be a bit of a gendered issue when I look around on social media. I have no stats to back this up, and it's probably a little bit of what you absorb, isn't it? But I still see an awful lot of these conversations being aimed at women a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Have you had to kind of proactively navigate through some of that stuff in a conscious way? Because there's a lot of people on platforms like Instagram, or I know you sell on Etsy as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Where it's a busy market, isn't it? But you want that to be in a place of healthy competition. So the stuff that kind of keeps you moving forward, but you don't want it to consume you, do you?
No.
How do you kind of handle that side of things?
It's definitely a lot. And especially when you've grown up that way. And my dad was always like, you have to work 10 times harder. You know, obviously being a black girl, I was trying to do my best to kind of be as smart. My dad was always like, education is key kind of thing. So I always had that embedded in me to always do a bit better. But because I was so creative, academically, it wasn't my bag at all. Like it wasn't for me. And I guess I kind of then put that into my creativity of the hustle culture. I thought, well, if I'm going to do something well, I'm going to do it in that way. And I've just always been used to doing it that way. But now, like in this day and age, we are now told to kind of like, you know, settle down and, like I said, take a break, but I still have it in me. I can't help it. Like if I want to do it, I'm going to do it because it's just the way it is. And I guess that's a difficult question to kind of fully answer, if I'm honest, Charlotte. I'm so used to doing it that way. Yeah. And I think it's just because I've grown up that way. And it could be gender, but it's just because I'm an oldest daughter. So I think my dad also said, like, he was just like, he just wanted us to kind of just keep educating us or keep learning, because he felt like the world was going to be a lot more harder on us, and he wasn't wrong. So I've always been that way. Yeah.
One of the things that I often have to work with parents on, particularly coming through workshops, sometimes one-to-one, but is almost like that judgment that we put on other people of that's the wrong way to do something, or you must do it this way because that isn't looking after yourself doing it that way. Like it happens a lot with people when they get into discussions around like working in an evening or outside the kind of classic work hours kind of thing. And I will absolutely caveat all of this with, I would never want anybody to be burnt out or to get to the stage of feeling horrendous at the because they felt like they've got to. But it's that notion sometimes where, like, I've seen it in people, and I'm probably doing it myself actually, where I've judged where people have talked about, you know, I'm just going to log on after the kids have gone to bed, or I'm going to do this after, and you think, oh, I'm going to work for a few hours at the weekend, and you're like, who is anybody to judge how somebody else is working? Mm-hmm. Because the way that you work is what you want it to work for you. So no, we don't want people to be burning out. We don't want people to feel so drained. But I don't think that's what you're saying. That's not what your definition of hustle culture is, I don't think, from what I'm picking up. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And you exactly work to your own pace. So I used to work a full-time job, and I was doing baby duet in my own lunchtime break. And others may say, well, that's your lunchtime break. You're doing an 11-hour shift, you know. That 2-hour break, you should be having a sandwich and watching something on YouTube. But it's literally, that was the time that I only thought that I could concentrate on my building my small business. Because when I got home, it was dinner, put kids to bed, sleep. Those sort of things were important to me. So I used those 2 hours in my working day to do it then. And others may say, yeah, that's, you know, that may be their definition of hustle culture, but that's the time I had for me. So yeah, that's definitely true.
I think as well, sometimes we overlook the joy. Like in your instance, that would have felt really motivating and energizing, I imagine. Like probably not every day. Let's not, you know, I won't totally sugarcoat.
Yeah,
exactly. There were some days where you did just want to have something to eat and watch something on YouTube. Yeah. But I would imagine that it more often than not, it's something that you wanted to do. You were building it, and that was kind of within your boundaries to set and say, no, this is the time that I'm protecting to do that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, it's during lockdown, it's the opposite. You think you have all the hours in the world, because you did, you were at home, and that could have been the best time to be like, right, this is it. But it was definitely a different time. I felt the total opposite. I was like, I can't focus. I couldn't focus on doing it. And it shocked me, because I'm so used to wanting to have the time. And then here we are having the time, the world stops. I'm like, no, it just not going to work. It's just not going to, it was very challenging. So as well as homeschooling, which was fun.
Your eldest was like school age, wasn't he? Would he have been reception or?
He hadn't started, he was in nursery.
Yes,
So, but my daughter would have been 9, 10, so she's 11 now. So yeah, it was definitely very hands-on. It was a lot.
And like very different needs as well there, I guess.
Completely different. Doing phonics with one child, so another, it was completely, so splitting your brain to try, and then think, oh my gosh, I'm launching a brand at the same time. Like, it was insane. But however, it did sometimes when I did do baby duet, it did give me that joy. It did give me that kind of like, it took me out of it, but it wasn't all the time, you know, it was, and that's the honesty about it. It wasn't all the time, but it did give me that joy.
Yeah. That was, it's something that I'm going to completely like butcher it now, but basically I remember seeing a quote from, I don't know, somebody very clever, when the narrative kicked in about Jerry Knockdown. Basically, if you hadn't done that job you've been putting off, if you hadn't learned a language or picked up, do you know what I mean, then you're never going to have done it. And this person was like, no, that's a load of absolute rubbish. I think they use a slightly sharper word than rubbish. Load of rubbish, because actually our brains have been in crisis mode. We've been actually trying to protect ourselves. We're in, going at this from a place of survival. And it's absolutely fine if you now can't speak three different languages.
Or make banana bread.
The banana bread. I used to really like banana bread. No more.
It was a lot.
And I think there's now an awful lot of diabetes in the world. That narrative again kind of became quite dangerous, and I think for parents as well, and it still is to an extent. I think it's still there, and I'm seeing it a lot in with corporates where people are, and I kind of soak some of this stuff up, so not particularly clients of mine, but just in that corporate world where we're talking about returning to offices way more. And we think it's almost like the last 2 years haven't happened in some instances. Because I kind of think, you know, it hasn't been flexible working in the way that many of us would describe. It absolutely has been working from home in a crisis. But we have had loads of learnings over the last couple of years. And what do we want to hold on to? Because there's stuff there. We can't treat it as binary as, okay, right, there's an end date to the pandemic, because there isn't. As I understand it anyway, maybe I'm wrong, but that we've got to live with it. But therefore, okay, we kind of flick this switch and we all go back. And I think some of that's
we're going to go back to normal, and there's no normality now.
What even is normal?
No, it isn't.
What do you mean by that?
No, it isn't, absolutely not. And it's just it's a lot, and I think people need to take care of, just remind people that it's 2 years and it's still going.
Yes.
And it's just, I even told my daughter as well, like, it's life, the life that we're living now, so we have to adjust, we have to think differently how we do things. And it's crazy.
So baby duet world and new products and all of it. So my girls are older now, so I'm not breastfeeding, but I did breastfeed them when they were younger, and I saw the pads that you'd launched. And what a fab idea. I wish that, because my eldest she's nearly eight, my youngest is nearly five. So even in that, because they're not older kids in my head anyway, but that isn't that long ago. And the conversations around sustainability and my personal education around how I was looking after me and the planet, kind of beyond recycling my plastic bottles, was still pretty limited there. There seems to have been a real sharp increase, thank goodness, in terms of education, but also kind of availability of products.
Yeah.
Is that something that you kind of find that you've got to stay ahead of or in line with? Like, how does that whole kind of approach work for you? Do you come up with the idea first and then figure out, is this sustainable enough, or what's the process?
I just try and do things that align with what I believe, and kind of like always trying to learn more, because I never say that I'm just a sustainability brand, even though I am, I practice it, but I feel like there's so much that goes into it to become one. So I kind of just let people know that this is what I do. Like, for example, I don't like wasteful fabric, and that was one thing I was passionate about when I was making baby dress, because they're baby clothes, so what happens to the rest of the fabric, like what happens to the corner? And I just thought to myself, well, I can make stuff out of that. Give me all your scraps, so to say, but it's not really scraps, but you know what I mean? That the offcuts of the fabric, and I want to do start something with it. And that's where it's come from. That's where the zero waste has come from. And I thought, well, I could start making stuff or get local designers to make things out of baby duet fabric, so it's not going to waste. And that was my part towards it. And for example, like my ribbons, because I wrap the gifts in ribbon, and I see it all over online, and it looks beautiful, like branded ribbon. It looks great. You want to have your branded ribbon. But for me, I just thought, well, what if you want to use the ribbon again? Like, so I decided not to have a branded ribbon, even though it looks great. Yeah. Lots of colours, you can use your ribbon wherever you want. You can re-gift it with another gift that may not be baby dress, so you can put it in your child's hair. You can do whatever you want with it, and those little things are the ones that mean so much to me. So I think if I continue doing that, it kind of just, it goes into the brand, and that's how I kind of see it. So that's why I'm always like, this is what I do and this is how I'm trying. And you know, I still do my recycling, my plastic bottles and everything. I am trying to live more of a zero waste life at home, but it's just it's little by little. And that's what I tell my kids as well. It's just, you know, little by little, and this is how we kind of try and help the world in our little way. So yeah.
Your branding, and that's in itself is really bold and strong, isn't it? So regardless of the ribbon being wrapped around that package, you know. As the person that's bought either for your child or you've bought a gift for somebody, you know where it's come from. And if somebody was to kind of comment and remark, which I'm sure that they do because they're just so gorgeous, you'd be able to say straight away, oh, actually, it's from this small business. And here, have a look at them and look at their grade and go behind the scenes on their TikTok. I'm still coming on to that. Yeah, there's more than one way to, I guess, advertise. That's part of the reason why people put the branding on, right?
Yeah, it is. It is more than one way to advertise, which is great. And I just felt like, you never know, it may change in the future, which I'm always open to say that things do change. But for now, I like those little elements. I want the fabric to also, the pattern to carry on for itself. So even the logo, so even just like the breast pads that I've come from cut-offs, you may not necessarily go and get patterned breasts. I mean, no one's going to really see them apart from you, but it's just the fact that it is made from the fabric, the design, and it's not gone to waste. So the design carries itself, and yeah, just to keep it going, really.
Yeah. Oh, it almost makes me think, I'd really love another baby just to feel fancy and get some nice, beautiful breast pads.
Although a friend of mine did say she used it as like a makeup cleanser, I was like, what a great idea. And I love the fact that she said, can I? And I was like, well, why not? Why can't
you? Yeah. Because you do get them, don't you, the reusable makeup thingies. That's a really good point.
Yeah, so she's been using it for that, and I thought, how clever is that? So yeah, breast pads, makeup, I mean, that's it, isn't it? You use it for whatever you want.
You need to get that in a description somewhere, because that's like a whole other market.
A whole other market. Yeah, it's incredible.
Me for one. So let's just talk about TikTok for a minute. So in all seriousness, I think we're not going to turn this into a social media conversation, but
by the way, if we do.
But from a small business perspective, the things that you're able to do as a creator on platforms like that, and you know, TikTok is very different to Instagram, isn't it? Feels it as a user. I don't actually know the science behind it, but I think it is. She says with a really sweeping statement, like, she knows.
No, it is. It definitely is. And all the creatives say it's completely different.
Yeah. And especially, like, you know, that video side of things where you're able to give that insight into your business and how you're operating and, you know, the come behind the scenes with me type thing.
Yeah.
Where do you, and again, this is just your opinion, you don't need to throw any facts at me, don't worry, but the value that adds to your business, do you and I don't necessarily mean always in sales, I realize it might not mean that, but just in terms of the connecting with your audience side of things, does that help, or is there a pressure to create content?
Yeah, well, you know what? And I felt like it was a pressure probably about a year ago, because I saw that everybody, like a lot of my small businesses that I follow, everyone was going on TikTok and doing the pointing and doing the dancing. And everything. And I was like, oh, I just don't know if that's for me. But I know everybody has their own way of doing it. But there's one thing I love is I like learning and finding out something new. And I kind of went on TikTok first as like, just to watch. So I've been watching and I enjoyed it. And then I thought to myself, like, I actually want to share what I'm doing. And that's what I do on Instagram. As we know, it's very different. I'm also camera shy. So I know they're like, if you want to go on TikTok, you got to show your face. And I'm like, so I don't know. But I just learned my way of what I like. And I thought, well, why don't I just do what I like on TikTok and see if it works? If it doesn't, we'll see. So now it's just kind of just sharing what I do with like, and also sharing realistic things about if it's hard or just, you know, I've got one video that's like, mum, keep going. Keep going, mama, keep going. And it's just, and also just, yeah, sharing behind the scenes and what me and the kids do. And it's just, with also obviously having privacy as well, but as well as showing my brand, it's exactly what it says. I'm literally just showing how I'm growing a business and, you know, being a parent. It's that's what it is. And that's my niche, so they say. That's my niche. So, yeah. And that's it. And I'm having fun with it. And I think that's the most important thing. There's no pressure. I'm not like, I have to do 10 videos a day. Yeah. I have fun with it. And I like that. I like it when it's less pressure, because yeah. I think it shows more. And people can see it if you are trying to do something just for the sake of it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think people can see that. They can see it on Instagram anyway. They can see it on social media. But yeah, it's just a new hobby. Yeah. So I see it, yeah.
But and I think that kind of goes back to where we started this conversation around balance and managing the imbalance, in that mm-hmm. it isn't as this that's a real life example of it, right? Because balance isn't just about time, it's yeah. kind of the way that we're operating, isn't it? So mm-hmm. where you want to do something, you want to be part of a platform, you want to be able to share certain elements. Yeah. But doing it from a place that feels comfortable, as opposed to doing it from a place where you feel expected to do it. Or this is what, you know, when people talk about, I bet you'll probably see it too, you know, like business coaches, when they'll talk about show up and show up consistently. But there's a lot of nuance that sits behind those phrases.
Yeah.
It isn't just as, you know, binary as yes, you must show up. And that means every day, three times a day and that kind of stuff. I suppose that this is another live example for you of what you've got to balance, isn't it? Because it isn't, it's never just about making clothes. That's the, that might be a huge chunk of what you do, but there's so much that wraps around that and that is goes unseen, that it's about putting that truth out into the world as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've always been passionate about sharing it, because I started Instagram with no products. Like, I have nothing to show. So, but I knew that I wanted to have a product in eventually. It will get there. But I thought, well, if I'm going to go on this journey, I might as well share it, because somebody else might think, well, I could, but I may not have the time to do it, you know, or someone else, like, just to show that it's just my journey I want to share. And I enjoy it. I enjoyed it. And obviously I have my days where I'm like, well, I'm gonna give myself a social media break, which I'm doing on Instagram at the moment. Like, give myself a social media break, because again, I'm having fun on TikTok, so I'm doing, and again, that's balance, isn't it? Just one social media platform to another. But yeah, I enjoy sharing, and I like seeing others as well. I love seeing other people share their journeys as well, and being influenced by that. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for chatting with me this morning. For everybody listening who will be thinking immediately, oh, I know somebody that's having a baby and I want to go and buy them something from a small, beautifully created brand. Where is the best place to come and find you?
Definitely on the website, babyduet.com. I also sell on Etsy as well. You can buy through Instagram. Very limited stock at the moment because I'm working on the next collection, but I'm there, and yeah, definitely come and say hi.
Amazing. And for those TikTok users amongst us,
we
need to go find you on there as well. Let's get some insights. So thank you so much, and for sharing so generously your experiences and more behind the scenes of what goes into your gorgeous brand. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Charlotte. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much for tuning in to Power of the Parent, the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate, review and subscribe. And if you could tell all your friends about the podcast, that would be wonderful. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find me on Instagram. Just search Power of the Parent. See you next time.